You know, there's such a sweet spirit in this place, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, and I credit the pastor for that. You've got a great, great man here, and the Lord, of course, he'll deflect all that. But I think he was the first preacher I worked on your ordination, I think. Yeah, I believe we're the first. We've done many since then. We're thankful for it. But I do count it a privilege to be here this morning. And the older I get, the colder it gets up in Kentucky. So I know why. Are there any snowbirds here this morning? There are some back here, some snowbirds.
Still plenty of room in the corner,
brother. Yeah. They said that 33,000 people moved down New York to Florida. I don't know, my brother-in-law told me that. But I'm wasting time this morning. I better get moving here. I've only got 35 minutes, unless I follow Brother Jim, his example. It is a privilege to be here. I thank you all for everything, the invitation. It's good to be with you here at Citrus Missionary Baptist Church. I think the last time I was here was 10 years ago, probably. It's good to be here. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and your watch care over us as we're here. It's been such a blessing. We're looking forward to the remainder of the conference, especially when I get this part out of the way. I noticed a passage of Brother Troy put on the program, and I said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, to me, the theme of that is God's faithfulness. He is indeed a faithful God, and, you know, after Paul was seeking prayer for the evil day that he lived in, and that the word would be have free course, he said, but the Lord is faithful. No matter what comes upon us, and no matter how the Lord uses us, he does all things well, and he is faithful in all the things he does. And I was kind of depressed this morning until Troy read that psalm. No, I wasn't wrong, just kidding. But I've got a doctor, a cardiologist, that quoted scripture to me just a few years ago. So they haven't all left. They're good doctors.
Amen.
If they know your body, they know God and how wonderfully we're made. So they have to know that. So God is the one that is faithful, and he delivers all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Talks about his deliverance and how he would deliver his people. And even when we're in doubt, and when we're not faithful, God indeed is still faithful. In 2 Timothy, we read that God is faithful in these things, and you read that passage, 2 Timothy chapter, I jotted down some notes here, I hope to find them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Amen.
And even when we doubt him, even when we get in the flesh, as a brother spoke of last night, our brethren, we're glad that he is faithful, and he always looks after us, and he keeps us and watches after us. He's a faithful God to keep us. And aren't you glad that he is indeed a faithful God?
Amen.
In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So we have this great promise of God and his faithfulness. And Paul, as he was working up to this theme of God's faithfulness, he'd spoken of the, in the book of Romans, of the results of justification by faith, and how that believers are dead to sin. And he spoke concerning the fact that we're married to Christ, and yet there's a struggle of this old flesh in the seventh chapter. And when we would do good, we find that evil is present. And it brings us to chapter 8, where he says, even with all this, even in the fact that we are in the flesh, that we still have that Adamic nature, that we're still his. And there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Yeah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I want to take that thought in this last verse I read, verse 10. If Christ be in you, I want to think about that this morning. And if you want to make a title, that would be the title. If Christ be in you. You know, children of God, as children of God, we have some great blessings. And we understand that because Christ is in us. Because if Christ be in you, first of all, you're born again. And you're made partakers of a divine nature, the divine nature of God. If Christ be in you, you're a possessor of a good hope through grace. And you're elect, you're redeemed, as Brother Jim brought out last night, the redemption. As we redeem the time. And we're justified, we're sanctified. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Christ. We have so much to rejoice in. But if Christ is not in you, if the Son of God is not in you, the Lord Jesus Christ is not in you, then you're lost. And you're without God and you're without Christ and without hope. You're an unregenerate. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. And beloved, and I call sinners beloved, because we're to love the sinner.
Amen.
And to witness and seek the salvation of the lost. But you're under the wrath of God.
Yes.
And it's my prayer that before we leave this place today, that if there be one here that's not possessed by Christ, that he will be made manifest to you. Oh, that the Son of God would come and take up residence in the hearts of those who are lost here in this building or online, wherever they may be. And that he might refresh and renew his spirit in his elect here today. Because to have Christ in you is to be saved, is to be made whole again, and that by the amazing grace of God.
Amen.
As we read this passage, we saw in verse 1 through 4, the apostle told us that God's grace, that God's salvation, though belongs to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And those who walk in the Spirit, all who are those that are lived by faith in Christ. They're justified and they have been made righteous, and then the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And then having that righteousness in them, even the righteousness of the law fulfilled in them, they're not now and never can be condemned, as he said in verse 1. But those who walk after the flesh are condemned already and shall never be redeemed if they persist in their godlessness and the rebellion and in their unbelief. You who are yet without Christ are condemned already, the Bible tells us. And if you persist in that, you'll be forever damned.
Yeah.
If you persist in your godlessness and your rebellion and your unbelief, your rejection, you will be condemned forever.
Amen.
But you know, what does it mean, though, to live by faith in Christ? What does it mean to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? What is the distinction? It was brought out very well last night. And how do I know whether I walk after the flesh or after the Spirit? And our text gives us the answer.
Yeah.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal mind, that natural mind, that mind that we're born with, that depraved mind that we enter into this world, it cannot be subject to the law of God.
Amen.
So then, considering that, Paul says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So I want to show you three things this morning from this passage of Scripture. First of all, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, verse 5 through 7. And secondly, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but those who are in the Spirit cannot but please God. That's all they can do is please God, as he looks at them through Christ. Now, if Christ is in you, thirdly, God put you there, put him there. Verse 10. So the flesh and the Spirit, and my sermon coach is here this morning, and I never really went over these notes with her yet, so if I mess up, it's my fault. But let's spend a little time on the flesh and the Spirit, and I think that's pretty much been a theme so far. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a fairly simple statement. You know, that's what the Lord told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, there in verse 3. You must be born again, because you've been born of the flesh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he said here, Paul said, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the lost, the unregenerate, unsaved people, they mind earthly things. They live for and are concerned about and they're anxious about earthly things.
Right.
They're taken up and consumed with the things of this world and of the flesh. And as Matthew, Christ said in chapter 6, Matthew quoting Christ, you cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. I pray the Spirit of God would give us grace to live for eternity and not for time.
Amen.
for heaven and not for the world, for Christ and not for the flesh. Because Paul told the Colossians, he says in chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's a man in flesh and bone in heaven.
Yeah.
This very moment.
Right. Yeah.
We should concentrate upon him and his life and the things that he has done and pattern our lives after him. He's there. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And the next few things I'm going to mention, there's nothing wrong with those things in themselves. Having good health, being happy, seeking honor, having property or prosperity, to have position or fame or fortune or favor. Those are the things that can become your gods.
Yeah.
And those are the things for which men and women spend their lives in this world. Listen, most people will sacrifice anything for riches,
right,
revelry, and recognition.
Yeah.
These are the things the flesh craves. And when you think of that, all that, whatever, if you come to own the whole world, Christ said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
Right.
So the believer, that one that is born of the Spirit, that new man that's created in us by grace and by the grace of God, he lives for things higher and a better, a higher plane.
Amen.
The heaven-born soul, listen, is concerned about his relationship with Christ. The heaven-born soul is wondering, what can I do to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? When you wake up in the morning, and before you put your feet on the floor, you ask the Lord to guide you and to make you a witness for him through this day. That's a child of God. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, we find the theme of how we grow in the grace and knowledge and of him who loved us and gave himself for us. So that's the one that's born of the Spirit. And then to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the person who is swallowed up with the things of this world is dead, spiritually dead, and everything for which he lives, for everything for which he works, is marked for destruction. It comes to an end, and this life passes very quickly. It didn't seem like that long ago that Brother Troy was, we were there at Calvary, in ordination service. It didn't seem that long ago that I began to pastor Bethel Baptist Church 41 years ago. The fashion of this world passeth away. But you know, the believer, the new man that's born of God, the person who trusts Christ, he sets his mind on things above and not on things of this earth. You can examine yourselves this morning. You consider, what do I think of first thing in the morning when I wake up? What do I do? Do I go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for keeping me safe through the night? Do I go to the Lord in prayer and seek his will for me this day? I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but listen, people, we need to be careful. This flesh is alive and well. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He says in 2 Timothy, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 11. I didn't copy that, so I have to turn to it. A lot of times I copy the verses so I can get more said in quicker time, but especially in conferences. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness and contentment is great gain.
Amen.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You've heard, have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse?
No.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is serious stuff.
Amen.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, and love, patience, and meekness.
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, take heed, beware of covetousness. Take care that you feed the Spirit and not the flesh. If Christ be in you as children of God, set your affections on Christ. Turn away from earthly things. Set your mind on heavenly things. Have you ever been able to outgive God? Have you ever lacked anything as a child of God? Because God is good and He takes care of His own. But in verse 7 it says the carnal mind in our text, verse 7 of Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man, that which is born of the flesh, the old Adamic nature that is still in God's saints, that old fallen, depraved nature, which Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Hates God.
Right.
Always reasons against God.
Yeah.
But we're the children of God. But lost carnal men and women, and that old man is in us, they do hate. The things of God. They do not hate their idols. They hate a living God. He said, ye adulteresses, James said, and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Because he said, the mind is not subject, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. So you see the flesh and the spirit. Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. I think one of the old writers, I'd give his name if I can remember, he says, how can snow be warm or only by making it cease to be snow? The natural mind, you all don't know much about snow down here, but the natural mind cannot be mended or cannot be modified. It needs to be more than a new leaf turned over. The Bible says, Isaiah told us in Isaiah 55, 7 and 8, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. that flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, and those who are in the spirit cannot but please God. Outside of Christ, there's nothing that we can think, there's nothing we can be, there's nothing we can say or do that is pleasing to God.
Amen.
Outside of Christ. God's saints are accepted and are well pleasing in His sight because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." We should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, listen, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And now you look at verse 9 of Romans chapter 8. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You're not in the flesh as a child of God. That does not mean we're not human. That does not mean that we have no fleshly passions or appetites or desires. It does not mean that our old nature is eradicated in any sense. We read in Romans 7, it makes this perfectly clear. But rather what Paul is telling us here is that we have a new nature that's been implanted in us, and that we're being indwelled by the Spirit of Christ, who is our life. To be in the Spirit is to be ruled over and to be influenced by and governed by the Spirit of God, you understand? All who are in Christ have Christ begotten in them in the new birth and are justified and they're sanctified in Christ Jesus and with Christ. So that's what Paul's talking about. Is when he says God's people walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, because our life, the main of our life, the bent of our life is in the Spirit. Not always there. We're flesh. It's not an excuse, but in the mean and in the tenor of our lives, it's a life of faith in Christ. It's living under an abiding sense of being completely justified by Him and having no confidence in this flesh. Now I'm not trying to mingle in some kind of pharisaical righteousness of our own here. With the righteousness of God. That just won't work. This walk of faith is not being puffed up in the mind, in our fleshly mind. Paul addressed this to the Colossians when he said in chapter 2, verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And this next verse always astounds me. "In Him," verse 9 of Colossians 2, "In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him."
Yeah.
You're complete in Him. Doesn't that say it all?
Oh, yes.
"Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he, he says, quickened. Don't you love that word?
Yeah.
Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I love this passage. He says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days or how much you go over time in your sermon. No, that's not that. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he hath not seen. I want your pastor to preach on this passage eventually, but it's just such a great dissertation on true righteousness that is of Christ. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free, makes us free from the law of sin and death. For all who believe in Christ, those who believe in on him, Christ is our holiness.
Yes.
Christ is our righteousness. He is the end of the law for us.
Yes.
He is the fulfillment of the law. Actually, Christ is our law.
Yes.
And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit, who effectually causes you to look away from self, he causes you to look to the Savior for all your grace. If you don't have that, all your own imagined righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption, all that which you think you might have, you're still yet without Christ, and you're not born again. But if Christ be in you, is my third point. God put him there. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works,
right,
lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works,
amen,
therefore we should walk in them. Romans 8:10 says that if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in you, he is in you because God put him there by his omnipotent, amazing, saving grace in the new birth. Through the preaching of the word, making you whole in body, soul, and spirit. The body of flesh and all that pertains to it is subject to death because of sin. But the Spirit that is in us is life. We have life eternal.
Amen.
Being vitally united with Christ in that we have no stain, we have no sin. God cannot condemn us because the blood of Christ has made us righteous.
Amen.
We cannot die. Eternal life is ours because of the righteousness of Christ. Rejoice evermore, Paul said to the Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. You want to know that? Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of patience, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God is faithful.
Amen.
Bold shall I stand. I don't know who wrote this poem. 3 points in a poem, Brother Hobbs always taught me. Behold shall I stand on judgment day, though millions shall be cast away. Since Jesus Christ my ransom paid, no charge against me shall be made. While through my Savior's blood I am absolved from sin and guilt and blame, I cannot be condemned to die, for by free grace I'm justified. Robed in my Savior's righteousness, my soul cannot be in distress, for with his spotless garments on, I am as holy as God's Son. While unbelieving rebels die, salvation to the Lord I'll cry. My worth and works I still deny. Salvation to the Lord I cry. God bless y'all.